Interludes. Lahan, Eshonai, Teravangian. I-12, Lahan.
Congratulations, Brother Lahan said. You have found your way to the easiest job in the world.
The young Ardent pursed her lips, looking him up and down. She had obviously not expected her new mentor to be rotund, slightly drunk, and yawning.
You are the senior Ardent I've been assigned to?
To whom I've been assigned, Brother Lahan corrected, putting an arm around the young woman's shoulders.
You're going to have to learn how to speak punctiliously. Queen Aesodan likes to feel that those around her are refined. It makes her feel refined by association. My job is to mentor you on these items.
I have been an Ardent here in Kolinar for over a year, the woman said. I hardly think I need mentoring at all.
Yes, yes, Brother Lahan said, guiding her out of the monastery's entryway. It's just that, you see, your superiors say you might need a little extra direction. Being assigned to the Queen's own retinue is a marvelous privilege. One I understand you have requested with some measure of, persistence?
She walked with him, and each step revealed her reluctance. Or perhaps confusion. They passed into the circle of memories, a round room with 10 lamps on the walls, one for each of the ancient epic kingdoms. An 11th lamp represented the Tranquiline Halls, and a large ceremonial keyhole set into the wall represented the need for Ardents to ignore borders and look only at the hearts of men, or something like that. He wasn't sure, honestly. Outside the circle of memories, they entered one of the covered walkways between monastery buildings, a light rain sprinkling the rooftops. The last leg of the walkways, the Sun Walk, gave a wonderful view of Kolinar, at least on a clear day. Even today, Lahan could see much of the city, as both the temple and the high palace occupied a flat-topped hill. Some said that the Almighty himself had drawn Kolinar in rock, scooping out sections of ground with a fluent finger. Lahan wondered how drunk he'd been at the time. Oh, the city was beautiful, but it was the beauty of an artist who wasn't quite right in the mind. The rock took the shape of rolling hills and steeply sloping valleys, and when the stone was cut into, it exposed thousands of brilliant strata of red, white, yellow, and orange. The most majestic formations were the wind blades, enormous curving spines of rock that cut through the city. Beautifully lined with colorful strata on both sides, they curved, curled, rose, and fell unpredictably, like fish leaping from the ocean. Supposedly, this all had to do with how the winds blew through the area. He did mean to get around to studying why that was, one of these days. Slippered feet fell softly on glossy marble, accompanying the sound of the rains, as Lahan escorted the girl. What was her name again?
Look at that city, he said. Everyone out there has to work, even the light eyes. Bread to bake, lands to oversee, cobblestones to, cobble? No, that's shoes. Damnation. What do you call people who cobble but don't actually cobble?
I don't know, the young woman said softly.
Well, it's no matter to us. You see, we have only one job, and it's an easy one. To serve the Queen.
That is not easy work.
But it is, Lahan said. So long as we're all serving the same way. In a very, careful way.
We are sycophants, the young woman said, staring out over the city. The Queen's Ardents tell her only what she wants to hear.
Ah, and here we are, at the point of the matter.
Lahan patted her on the arm. What was her name again? They'd told it to him.
Pei.
Not a very Alethi name. She'd probably chosen it upon being made an Ardent. It happened.
A new life, a new name, often a simple one.
You see, Pei, he said, watching to notice if she reacted.
Yes, it did seem he'd gotten the name right. His memory must be improving.
This is what your superiors wanted me to talk to you about. They fear that if you're not properly instructed, you might cause a bit of a storm here in Kolinar. Nobody wants that.
He and Pei passed other Ardents along the Sunwalk, and Lahan nodded to them. The Queen had a lot of Ardents. A lot of Ardents.
Here's the thing, Lahan said. The Queen, she sometimes worries that maybe the Almighty isn't pleased with her.
Rightly so, Pei said. She...
Hush now, Lahan said, wincing. Just hush. Listen, the Queen figures that if she treats her Ardents well, it will buy her favor with the one who makes the storms, so to speak. Nice food, nice robes, fantastic quarters. Lots of free time to do whatever we want. We get these things as long as she thinks she's on the right path.
Our duty is to give her the truth.
We do, Lahan said. She's the Almighty's chosen, isn't she? Wife of King Elokar, ruler while he's off fighting a holy war of retribution against the regicides and the Shattered Plains. Her life is very hard.
She throws feasts every night, Pei whispered. She engages in debauchery and excess. She wastes money while Alethkar languishes. People in outer towns starve as they send food here, with the understanding that it will be passed on to soldiers who need it. It rots because the Queen can't be bothered.
They have plenty of food on the Shattered Plains, Lahan said. They've got gemstones coming out of their ears there, and nobody is starving here either. You're exaggerating. Life is good.
It is if you're the Queen or one of her lackeys. She even canceled the beggars' feasts. It is reprehensible.
Lahan groaned inside.
This one was going to be hard. How to persuade her?
He wouldn't want the child to do anything that endangered her. Or, well, him. Mostly him. They entered the palace's grand eastern hall. The carved pillars here were considered one of the greatest artworks of all time, and one could trace their history back to before the Shadow Days. The gilding on the floor was ingenious, a lustrous gold that had been placed beneath soul-cast ribbons of crystal. It ran like rivulets between floor mosaics. The ceiling had been decorated by Ulelan himself, the great Ardent painter, and depicted a storm blowing in from the east. All of this could have been creme in the gutter for the reverence Pei gave it. She seemed to see only the Ardents strolling about, contemplating the beauty, and eating, and composing new poems for Her Majesty, though honestly Lahan avoided that sort of thing. It seemed like work. Perhaps Pei's attitude came from a residual jealousy. Some Ardents were envious of the Queen's personal chosen. He tried to explain some of the luxuries that were now hers. Warm baths, horseback riding using the Queen's personal stables, music and art. Pei's expression grew darker with each item. Bother. This wasn't working. New plan.
Here, Lahan said, steering her toward the steps. There's something I want to show you.
The steps twisted down through the palace complex. He loved this place. Every bit of it. White stone walls, golden sphere lamps, and an age. Kolinar had never been sacked. It was one of the few eastern cities that hadn't suffered that fate in the chaos after the hierarchy's fall. The palace had burned once, but that fire had died out after consuming the eastern wing. Renner's Miracle, it was called. The arrival of a high storm to put out the fire. Lahan swore the place still smelled of smoke 300 years later, and...
Oh, right. The girl. They continued down the steps and eventually entered the palace kitchens. Lunch had ended, though that didn't stop Lahan from snatching a plate of fried bread, Herdazian style, from the counter as they passed. Plenty was laid out for the queen's favorites, who might find themselves peckish at any time. Being a proper sycophant could work up an appetite.
"Trying to lure me with exotic foods?" Pei asked. "For the past 5 years I've eaten only a bowl of boiled tallow for each meal, with a piece of fruit on special occasions. This will not tempt me."
Lahan stopped in place.
"You're not serious, are you?"
She nodded.
"What is wrong with you?"
She blushed.
"I am of the devotee of denial. I wished to experience separation from the physical needs of my—"
"This is worse than I thought," Lahan said, taking her by the hand and pulling her through the kitchens.
Near the back, they found the door leading out to the service yard, where supplies were delivered and refuse taken away. There, shaded from the rain by an awning, they found piles of uneaten food.
Pei gasped.
"Such waste!
You bring me here to convince me not to make a storm? You are doing quite the opposite."
"There used to be an ardent who took all of this and distributed it to the poor," Lahan said. "She died a few years back. Since then, the others have made some effort to take care of it. Not much, but some. The food does get taken away eventually, usually dumped into the square to be picked through by beggars. It's mostly rotten by then."
Storms. He could almost feel the heat of her anger.
"Now," the hound said, "if there were an ardent among us whose only hunger was to do good, think how much she could accomplish. Why, she could feed hundreds just from what is wasted."
Pei eyed the piles of rotting fruit, the sacks of open grain now ruined in the rain.
"Now," Lahan said, "let us contemplate the opposite. If some ardent tried to take away that which we have, well, what might happen to her?"
"Is that a threat?" she asked softly. "I do not fear physical harm."
"Storms," Lahan said. "You think we'd... Girl, I have someone else put my slippers on me in the morning. Don't be dense. We're not going to hurt you. Too much work."
He shivered.
"You'd get sent away, quickly and quietly."
"I do not fear that either."
"I doubt you fear anything," Lahan said. "Except maybe having a little fun. But what good would it do anyone if you were sent away? Our lives wouldn't change, the queen would remain the same, and that food out there would still spoil. But if you stay, you can do good. Who knows? Maybe your example will help all of us reform, eh?"
He patted her on the shoulder.
"Think about it for a few minutes. I want to go finish my bread."
He wandered off, checking over his shoulder a few times. Pei settled down beside the heaps of rotting food and stared at them. She didn't seem bothered by the ripe odor. Lahan watched her from inside until he got bored. When he got back from his afternoon massage, she was still there. He ate dinner in the kitchen, which wasn't terribly luxurious. The girl was entirely too interested in those heaps of garbage. Finally, as evening fell, he ambled back to her.
"Don't you ever wonder?"
she asked, staring at those piles of refuse, rain pattering just beyond.
"Don't you stop to think about the cost of your gluttony?"
"Cost?" he asked. "I told you nobody starves because we—"
"I don't mean the monetary cost," she whispered. "I mean the spiritual cost. To you, to those around you. Everything's wrong."
"Oh, it's not that bad," he said, settling down.
"It is. Lahan, it's bigger than the queen and her wasteful feasts. It wasn't much better before that with King Gavilar's hunts and the wars, princedom against princedom. The people hear of the glory of the battle on the Shattered Plains, of the riches there. But none of it ever materializes here. Does anyone among the Alethi elite care about the Almighty anymore? Sure, they curse by his name. Sure, they talk about the heralds, burn glyph wards. But what do they do? Do they change their lives? Do they listen to the arguments? Do they transform, recasting their souls into something greater, something better?
They have callings, Lahan said, fidgeting with his fingers. Digiting, then?
The devotaries help.
She shook her head.
Why don't we hear from him, Lahan? The heralds said we defeated the Voidbringers, that Ahare Etiam was the great victory for mankind. But shouldn't he have sent them to speak with us? To counsel us? Why didn't they come during the Hierocracy and denounce us? If what the Church had been doing was so evil, where was the word of the Almighty against it?
Surely you're not suggesting we return to that? He pulled out his handkerchief and dabbed at his neck and head. This conversation was getting worse and worse.
I don't know what I'm suggesting, she whispered. Only that something is wrong. All of this is just so very wrong.
She looked to him, then climbed to her feet.
I have accepted your proposal.
You have?
I will not leave Kolinar, she said. I will stay here and do what good I can.
You won't get the other Ardents in trouble.
My problem is not with the Ardents, she said, offering a hand to help him to his feet. I will simply try to be a good example for all to follow.
Well, then, that seems like a fine choice. She walked off, and he dabbed his head. She hadn't promised, not exactly. He wasn't certain how worried he should be about that. Turned out he should have been very worried. The next morning he stumbled into the People's Hall, a large open building in the shadow of the palace where the king or queen addressed the concerns of the masses. A murmuring crowd of horrified Ardents stood just inside the perimeter. Lahan had already heard, but he had to see for himself. He forced his way to the front. Payne knelt on the floor here, head bowed. She'd painted all night, apparently, writing glyphs on the floor by spearlight. Nobody had noticed. The place was usually locked up tight when not in use, and she'd started working well after everyone was either asleep or drunk. 10 large glyphs, written directly on the stone of the floor running up to the dais with the king's common throne. The glyphs listed the 10 foolish attributes, as represented by the 10 fools. Beside each glyph was a written paragraph in women's script, explaining how the queen exemplified each of the fools. Lahan read with horror. This didn't just chastise. It was a condemnation of the entire government, of the Light Eyes, and of the throne itself. Pei was executed the very next morning. The riots started that evening.